sweep over my soul.
Calls to the deep. guess my voice just went out.
I tell you, when you give your all, well, you just lose your strength, right? But the Lord is good to us. Let's all stand. I think every Christian, if you sat down and just ask him, what's your pull? How did you get to where you are today? We can talk about that pull. And always let that pull become greater in your life. And that's part of what the lyric says, I give my all. Yeah, there's always a giving of the all and the pulling. It's a growing. Because ultimately, that's where he's pulling us to. Amen. Himself. It's all about him. Amen. And I'm thankful to know the truth. Sometimes you can't explain it, but you still feel that tug. You know it's there. You know it's the life. You know it's the truth. You know it's him. Beyond every reason or ever doubt, you know it's him. It's been him all the way. Amen. Can you testify to that? We're witnesses to it. And that's the Spirit bearing witness in our own life. Amen. Let's just sing Word of God Ever True as Brother Aaron comes. Holy words, long preserved.
And we can say that he's come to you, spoke to you through this word, because he is the word. Amen. I want him to continue to change me. And so it's a wonderful atmosphere to be standing in tonight. And it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Y'all have your seats. Strange, but for some reason today I kept trying to figure out what today was. All day today I kept thinking, what's the significance of today? I kept trying to, it's like, I ought to know. It's like, I ought to know. And I spent all day trying to figure out what it was, and then I finally realized that it was Pop's birthday today. And everybody always likes me to sing, and but if there's one song in this world I think about Pop singing, it's this song. God's children too long have been burdened. They are longing for heaven's green shore, where heartaches are left far behind us, and burdens are carried no more. Come morning, I'll walk by the I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Come morning, I'll walk by the
some morning between 6 and 9,
I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. But come morning, there's glory for me.
Amen. We have a promise. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. It won't be long.
Nope.
And we'll see them again.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. I wish I could put into words what Pop meant to me, but I just can't say it. But we thank God for his life and his testimony and his ministry. And all that we're able to accomplish in the kingdom of God.
For us to follow.
Amen.
As the scripture said, follow me as I follow Christ, as Paul said.
Amen.
That's a man who followed Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to
2 Samuel chapter 22.
I wanted to say, for those of you that don't know, I just wanted to introduce our brother that's been coming with us, Levi's friend, if y'all don't know, that's Brother Hunter Jewell is his name, Brother Hunter. Yes. Hey, we're glad to have him with us, and we really appreciate him and his Amen. Testimony and him coming and. And so we appreciate him and just want him to know he's in our prayers. Amen. You take a stand for the word and the devil's coming after you.
Amen.
But you know, you got a family here.
Amen.
Right. We ain't got nothing to join. Because you got to be born into the body of Christ.
Right,
it's you're birthed into that.
Amen.
There's nothing to join. And thank God we know what that is.
Amen.
To be born again.
Amen.
And also I wanted to say, some of you have asked me about Dominic Haynes, the wrestler that broke his neck. Dominic has improved. He's still got a long way to go. He's still in a wheelchair. But he's had, I think they call it northbound sensations or northbound feelings or transmissions. So he can feel pressure, he can feel heat, he can feel cold, those things. But he can't cause his muscles to move, but he can feel things. And they say, well, the nerve endings from out come up to his brain. But praise God, the other day they had a video of him flexing one of his biceps.
Amen.
And so he was actually able, his dad had a video and he was actually tightening up his bicep. He could actually control it by himself. And so he's had a few more muscles. I think his left he can flex, but his right is hit or miss. But y'all just continue to pray for him. He's come a long way and he's got a long way to go. Lord willing, they're wanting to send him home next month.
Amen.
So y'all pray for him because his mom and dad, I pray for them all the time because I couldn't imagine trying to take
right.
somebody that's in a wheelchair, and you're going to be the lion's share of their care.
Right.
And if you've ever had to take care of anybody that like that, you know you can enter in because you know what it's like
right.
to have
Amen.
To take care of somebody. But, God is moving, and I still hold him up in prayer and still believe we'll see a miracle.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
yes, sir.
It may take a while, but, whether anybody else believes it or not, I believe it.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
I'll just stand on my own faith. But y'all just continue to hold him up, and I just thank God. I know some of you have asked about him. He's fighting a fever. He's got a UTI. So y'all just continue. And somebody that's in a wheelchair in that kind of situation, that's very common for them to have those, and y'all just continue to hold him up. The other thing I want to share with y'all tonight, and this is just a suggestion, but they've mentioned it. They've had groups, Sunday school classes, different people. If y'all would like to send cards, letters, anything, then feel free. He loves getting things, and if y'all feel led to do that, there's a address for you can send stuff to them, and just cards, encouragement, whatever. And it's really nice to get something in the mail to have people know that they're thinking of you. So y'all just continue to, if y'all feel led to do that or whatever, y'all just, and I've got the address if y'all want to do that. So that's all. Let's just all bow our heads before we read the scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings on us. Lord, we're able to gather in, and we just pray that you bless the service tonight. Lord, help us get out of the way. Lord, we just pray that you just have your will and way with us tonight. Minister in a special way to each one. And Father, Lord, for all the needs, we just continue to lift those that have needs. Lord, many that are sick and afflicted. Lord, many that have many different needs. But Lord, we know that you are the answer to every
problem that we have, every need that we have, you are the answer to it. Father, I just pray that you bless Brother Luis and Sister Christine and Zoe there. And Lord, as they minister in Honduras, Lord, and the ones, Brother Eric and Brother Lee, the different ones, we just pray that you just continue to hold them up, bless them. All the ones that are there in ministry, whatever the next services may be, whatever they're doing, Lord, we just pray that you would just continue to bless them, watch over and keep them. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all your blessings on us. Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands for your honor and glory. Bless the word tonight, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning with verse 1, says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord hath delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord is my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." And Colossians 1, beginning at verse 16, says, "For in him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. And I'm just going to continue my thought. Last time we were talking about the salvation of the Lord. You know, because you can't have salvation without having the Lord. And, you know, it takes all of it. And in the message, Proving His Word, Brother Bram said, he said, "See, a lot of people want Jesus to be their Savior, but not their Lord. See, Lord is ruler." Yeah, he said, "Jesus, you save me and let me stand right here, and that's all right, and I'll do my own business. Now, don't get in my business, but you can be my Savior, but not my Lord." He said he wants to be Lord, you see, then he's your Savior. So he has to be Savior and Lord. And one of the things I want to look at tonight is, you know, when they talk about having salvation, when they talk about, many people, certain denominations, certain theology, you know, they believe that it's by faith alone. Yeah, you know, all is faith alone. Well, that's true, that you have to have faith alone. But the problem it has to be is it's faith alone in the Word. You've got to take the Word and all that the Word has to say, because they try to make a separate belief in that, you know, he's Savior and Lord. Well, if you're going to follow the Word, you're taking him at his word, and that's what makes him your Savior. But he has to be all in all. And that's the reason that I wanted to read Colossians 1, because it said that he might have the preeminence. So he has to be the one that's in charge, the one that's in control. And so Brother Brown is talking here, and he talks about, you know, people want to be saved, but the only reason is that they don't want to go to hell, but they don't want, he said, but don't meddle in my affairs. They don't want God controlling everything. But he said, Jesus can't have the preeminence. He can't be your Lord because you want to be your own ruler. But he said, he has to rule in your place. He wants to rule in your place. As long as you keep the door shut, though you have accepted him as your personal Savior, yet you haven't fully give him preeminence in your life. He said, "Oh, churches, isn't that a truth in all the world? They won't let him have lordship." So he has to be Savior and Lord. And Brother Bram said that Lord meant ownership.
He is the owner. He said, just like owning the land, he is the landlord. He owns all of it. And if you accept him, he said, they gladly accept Jesus as their Savior. He said, but they don't want him to be their Lord. See, but if you're going to accept one, you have to accept the other, because you have to accept all of the Word. Whatever the Word says is exactly what you have to accept. And he said, if you can't take him to be all of it, then you have none of it. Because he said, you know, you have to be, you want him to be Savior, but you also have to want him to be Lord and have rulership and be led and guided by him, that he has the preeminence, that he is the one in charge, that he controls everything. Because you can't see what lies ahead. You can't see what goes in before you, but he does. And if you want to be molded in his image, then he's the one that leads and guides you into all truth to lead you to the place that you need to come to. But Brother Branham says, what is the problem here? He said, you know, and the message door inside the door, he said, you know, what is the problem that we see in the last days? He said, oh, we have a great church and it's all prosperous and we have all these great things. But he said, we have weaker pulpits than we've ever had. And we have this thing where there's nobody preaching because people don't want to surrender themselves to God. And the problem is the people standing behind the pulpits doesn't preach it, that you've got to surrender all your life. Because, you know, if you just want to take part of God, you're okay with that. Just take whatever you want. It's not a smorgasbord. You don't get to pick and choose what you want, but you've got to totally surrender and die out to yourselves. And Brother Branham says, he said, though they say I'm saved, I let Jesus save me. Well, you don't get to choose whether you get saved or not. You know, if you're drowning, like I said last time, if you're drowning in the ocean, you know, you don't get to pick and choose what happens, because you're lost and you're not in control. Somebody else is. Somebody else has to come in and take control of the situation. And that's the way it is when you're lost and there's a great chasm between you and God. He comes in and bridges that gap to come to you, to pick you up, to bring you to the place where you're not in charge. He is. And you have to accept him. And he said, and that's the reason, he said, I let Jesus save me, but you won't let him be Lord. So he won't stay with you long. He said, that's the reason you go back into the world again. That's exactly right. Why? Because how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Because if you're not sold out to him, then there's no way for him to be in charge. And there's no way for you to go, because the problem is if he's not leading you, how do you know to go? How do you know what truth is? How do you know which way to go if he's not leading you? How do you know what truth is if God didn't tell you what the truth was? It has to be God speaking to your heart to tell you what truth is. Because if not, we would just go by our own feelings, by our own reasoning, our own carnal reasoning. Well, you know what? That's exactly what Adam and Eve had. They had their own carnal reasonings, and you know what? It ended up in a mess. Every death that's ever happened is because of Adam and Eve's transgression. Every hospital, every crying baby, every problem that we have, are the gray hair, our old age, our aches and our pains, all of the faults and failures that we have that we deal with, all of that is because somebody didn't stand true to the Word. And Brother Branham said, if they fell on one word, for holding to one word, how are you going to get back if you don't believe all of it? Then if you're going to come back, it takes all the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you've got to take everything that God said and hold on it and believe it. Because one of these days you realize, you know what? I'm not smart enough to save myself. I'm not smart enough to lead myself. I can't figure these things out. I have to have somebody that knows what they're doing. He said, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is raised up, that he come to redeem, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He said, might have the preeminence. You know what that means? That's over all. He is over all things that was ever created, every angel, every being, and everything that there is. He is over all things. What creature is this? Who can it be? Over all things. So he is the one to have the preeminence. Then he is the one that is in control.
He created all things, and by all things, by Him, all things consist. So, if we have eternal life, because that is the goal, the desire that we have is to have eternal life. Then you know what? It's got to be Him leading us and take up residence in us. So the only way that He's going to do that, as Brother Branham talked about, the only way that He will do that is when you allow Him to come in. You have to open the door and allow Him to come in. You know, many people say, "Oh, you know, Lord, we just want to open the door for you and allow you to come in." But He said they only want to come to a certain point. They only allow you to come in to a certain, you know, like Brother Ram said, you know, you just come in the door and, we let you in, but just stand by the door. Don't come any further. You just stand over there by the door. We don't want you coming any further than that. Well, you know what? That's not being welcome. You know, Brother Branham said, you know, if I come to your house and you said, "Well, Brother Branham, we love to have you here and, you know, just make yourself welcome and, you know, just make yourself comfortable," then what did He say He would do? Now, I know some people wouldn't like this, but Brother Branham said, you know, if I come to your house and you just said, "Make yourself at home," you know, He said, "I'd hang up my hat." He said, "I'd go to the refrigerator, I'd swing the door open, get me some bologna and cheese and get some mustard and some onion and everything like that." And He said, "I'd sit down and eat my sandwich." He said, "If you had a soft drink, I'd drink it." And He said, "I'd just sit back, prop my feet up and enjoy myself." Why? Because you said to make yourself welcome. And He said, that's the exact same way with God. If you want Him to be welcome, then He's got to come in and have free reign and be comfortable there. But if you don't open the door and allow Him to come in and be comfortable, then you know what? Then He can't be in that place in your life. He can't be to the place that He needs to be to lead you. Because Brother Ram said He was a gentleman. So if you don't allow Him to have preeminence, if you don't allow Him to have reign, He can't do anything for you. And that's the reason why He said, because He will not stay with you very long, because you will not allow Him to do His work. And all of a sudden, when He begins to lead you and guide you, hey, you're going to go your own way. Well, guess what? He's gone. He can't lead you any further. But if you allow Him, because He will speak to you you allow Him to work. When He speaks to you, you're receptive to what He has to say. See, but you know, you have to take what He says as He leads you. Whatever He says to you, you've got to accept that. Because Brother Ed was talking about Cain. You know, here's Cain, a great, Brother Ed said he was a believer, he's a great religious man. Here he was and he come and God began to speak to him and told him what he needed to do. You know, when he began, because, you know, they both wanted to worship God. They both wanted to offer sacrifices and worship God and all these things. But, you know, Abel was the one that had the revelation of what it took. When God spoke to Abel, he had a revelation that it would take blood, that he took a lamb to offer that, because that's exactly what was the sacrifice, exactly what was needed. And it was actually the revelation of what Jesus would come and do as a type of that, showing that's what it would take, because what took place in the garden, it took blood, so the covering had to be blood. So here he come back into, it had to be a bloody lamb that took our place, that would cover, that would show that was a type of Christ. But when Cain came in there, you know, he wanted to offer what he thought was great, what was good in his eyes, because this is what I had my hand in. This is what I've done. Look at what I can accomplish. And you know what? It has nothing to do with that, because God didn't accept any of Cain's revelation, did not accept any of his sacrifice, because it was all about him, and it had nothing to do with somebody else taking his place. It was, you know, he could build up this great altar and all these things, but it wasn't that. It what was what God required. And when God rejected Cain's revelation, when he rejected his sacrifice, God came to Cain and told him exactly what it would take to cover him. And He said, if you want to do right, if you want to do well, then do what your brother done. You don't even have to have a revelation. You just have to have obedience to the word to do what you've seen.
That's all it takes. And if you would just take that simple obedience, childlike obedience, and he do that, and he turned it down. But it was his choice. It was not God making him do anything. It was Cain's choice to do that. See, Brother Ram said, if God only required you to have faith in him, he said, Cain was not infidel, he was a believer. He said, if it just took having faith in him, then Cain should have been accepted. But it wasn't. But he said, because there was a God-provided way, that there was a way that God had everything to go, and there was a way that you were supposed to follow. And that's exactly what he had to do. And God told him what to do. And all he had to do, he didn't have to understand it, but he did have to believe it. He did have to exercise his faith in doing that. But he didn't. And it's the same way. See, if you're going to follow what God has to say, all you got to do is follow what he says. Because it's in the word what was said. When you point out to what was written in the scripture, see, then you hear what the truth is. When you hear these things and see these things, then all you got to do is follow that. You know, because so many people are very quick when you try to tell them something about the scripture, that when it comes to the scripture, they're very quick to turn it down or, you know, interject something. But the problem is like, if you see something, if you don't understand something, then go before the Lord and pray about it and seek God and look for an answer. And not just say, well, you know, I don't see any of that. That's just hogwash or whatever. And not even follow what it said, but go back to the scripture. And then when you look at the scripture, because people do not want to settle down and take what was said and actually look at what was said and take what, just like what Brother Ram said, in one place or what the scripture says, you know, just like Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2, if you don't see how those two are the exact same thing, then you know what, just take what was said and put it before the Lord and pray and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Why? Because when you look at the things that are in the scripture and you don't understand how this matches with this, you don't understand how these two come together, and it's right in the scripture, well then don't just, well, you know, I'm going to take this over here and I'm just going to forget this over here. And you know, when just like Brother Tatum always talked about, you know, he didn't want to get to, when he got to Acts 2 or whatever, you know, he just wanted to pass over that because he didn't want to read that. Because he had questions about it. Because he couldn't put them together. And so if you don't understand, well, you know, I just, Brother Bram said this over here. And so, you know, we're just going, don't worry about whatever else he said. You know, it's like the 70 weeks of Daniel. You get to one point, it's like, hey, we're just going to take this over here and forget about the rest of the book. Well, the problem is if it's all thus saith the Lord, if he all said it, then guess what? There's somewhere along the way that you can take what he said back here and say what he said over here and put them together. Because you know what? The word will always be in continuity. Now, our understanding might not always be in continuity, but his word will always be in continuity. But the problem is, you know what? The Holy Ghost will come and speak to you. Then you know what? It'll always dovetail exactly what he said. But lots of times you find people, they'll, you know, they have questions about something, but you know what? People get to a place, and Brother Brandon was talking about this, you know, one of the doors in the heart that he was talking about, in doors, one of the problems that you see people get to is they have pride. He was talking about coming to the door of pride, and they never get past that door of pride. But the problem is, instead of coming out and saying, listen, I don't understand this. I don't understand how this, I don't understand one God. I don't understand how there's not a Trinity, because the Bible says everything I've read, everything I've been taught since I was born has been about a Trinity, and they don't understand how that's different. Well, you know what? When the Holy Ghost begins to start to lead you, then he'll show you how those things are just, it's the same God operating in a different office. So then you begin to see how these things are, it's the same. It all ties together, because everybody says, well, the Trinitarians, you know, they like to run over here and take this scripture, and the oneists like to take this scripture over here, and they just like to... Or, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, I'm all about the predestination, you know, Calvinist, and you got Arminianism, and everybody arguing over the same thing and not realizing all of it's in. Brother Bram said, I'm a Calvinist as long as it's in the Bible. He said, I'm Arminian as long as it's in the Bible. Because what? There's a place where it all begins to dovetail together. Because people, you talk about people understanding, well, I just believe in free will, and not understanding that God can predestinate by his foreknowledge, knowing what your choice would be. Understanding what the election of God is, how it all ties together. When God begins to speak to you and tell you how it all, it's very simple. Brother Branham said even a child could understand it. Even the most illiterate person could understand it. But what does it take? It takes a Holy Ghost revelation. It takes a Holy Ghost speaking to you, and he'll show you these things. If we hold on to what the Holy Ghost said, if we will just be led by him, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he said, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Well, then all you got to do is continue to follow that, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And he will begin to show you these things. Then it'll begin to open up, and you'll see these things, how perfectly they fit together. But like Brother Bram said, see, if you don't believe all the Word, see, you have not received the Holy Ghost. Because people that, well, you know, I'm just gonna pick my this over here. I'm gonna take that over there. You know what? I believe it all, whether I understand it or not. It's the Scripture. But you know, the one thing is, I'm not turning down anything. I'm gonna hold on to it, because you know what? I've had questions in my life that I've held on for years and not understand it. But you know what? Brother Bram said this one over here. He said that over there. I don't understand how that ties together. It don't make any sense to me. I'm more confused than if I was trying to study Chinese algebra. But the problem is when the Holy Ghost comes and begins to speak to you, then it'll come and dovetail, and you'll see it exactly clearly that you understand what took place. It's exactly perfect. All you got to do is trust him that he will lead you that way. You see, if we don't allow him to be Lord of our life, if we don't allow him to take a and say, Lord, because as we study in the Word, because if you want to be like God, if you want to be closer to Christ, what he say do? He said, you got to read your Bible and pray. You got to get into the Word. You got to get in and study this thing and not talk about it just every once in a while. And you see these people, and I'm going to say it again, that's okay. But you know, it's like some people say the only Bible reading they get done in a whole day is somebody like Brother Donnie, they'll send that little quote out, and they'll send a little scripture, you know, one scripture, and they read that one scripture. It's like, well, I done my scripture reading for the day. But you know what? They'll spend 7 hours on Facebook, and they'll get on Instagram. You know, they'll be in everything else reading and all these other things, and you know, whatever else, you know, people spend hours and hours watching TikTok, and when they get done, they got nothing accomplished. I mean, at least if you watch something and try to learn something, I mean, you know, I try to tell Levi all the time, you know, try to teach him about heat and air, try to teach him about air conditioning. It's like, listen, you can learn a lot on YouTube. If you watch some videos, you might learn something. Or you can learn how to work on engines and all kinds of things. Lots of people answer a lot of questions on there. And people, you know, some people, they just feed on that all day long, just sucking up YouTube. And the problem is like, you know what, if you want to meet the Creator of heaven and earth, if you want to meet the God that come by and spoke to you, that created all things and brought you to the place that you are today and give you everything that you have today and wants to come in and take up residence in you and fill you with the Holy Ghost and lead and guide you and take you to a place that you can't even think of, imagine in your mind what that place, how great that place is going to be. And he wants to come and have residence with you, have fellowship with you every single day. And people, well, I mean, you might as well be talking to the wall.
and not realize how great God is, because he was so great that he condescended to come to such a simple, humble, lowly birth to come and dwell with us, take up flesh, that he became what we are, that we might become what he is. That he would come and take up and take our sin, who knew no sin, he became our sin, that we can become the righteousness of God. Become the righteousness of God. That's what God wants us to realize. You know, it's amazing. I've been to Fort Knox one time in my life, but you know, you drive by there, and I've been on the Army base there at Fort Knox, and you see the great big building there, and they say, well, that's where all the gold is over there. And they got all the security fences and everything. You see this great big place. There's nothing around it. You know, it's got all this grass, and it's just, you know, they see you coming from a half a mile or more. But you know, everybody talks about, man, you know what? I'd love to be in Fort Knox. People would just love to open their eyes and look into a place where they could see that much gold. Just see stacks and stacks. I mean, I don't have tons and tons of gold. Man, you and people, boy, I wish. Could you imagine what it'd be like to just have a part of that? What would it be if you could just take one of them gold bars home with you? Man, you know, that'd be something. If I had just one gold bar. And you know, they just pack it around. Ooh, look at what I got. I got my gold bar. Look at that. I got something that the rest of y'all got. Look at this gold bar. Look how great it is. And not realizing we got something greater than that. When you realize you come in the house of God, the greatest thing that God could give you, you can tote it around on your phone. You can tote it around. And you know, it's like, well, there's the Bible. But you know, if you realize how precious it was, there's people around the world that have died just to have one page of this, just one sheet of it. I mean, they gave up their lives. They can go to prison. They can die just because it's illegal to have this. We got it on computer. We got it on laptop. We've got all these things. And then, you know, they don't even have what we have. We've got all of the prophet's message. Everything that's been given to us that we've received, we have this. We can have it in all kinds of forms. You can stream it. You can listen to it anywhere. I mean, and all the different formats that you can have, you can listen to the message, you can read it, you can have everything. It's translated in other languages. It's a great thing. You can just pull it out and you can search up any kind of word. You can find every time Brother Branham said something. Every time he mentions one word, you can find every time one little phrase, you can search it all the way through the scripture. You can read every time Brother Branham said that. You can sit down and you can look at it, one scripture or one word in the Bible, you can find every time it's been mentioned. And there's like, man, look at all this. Oh, man, it's so great. And yet, we don't value the time that God's given us. And you know how when you have something that's valuable, you know, I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, my truck ain't the greatest. But you know, everywhere I go, I like my truck. I lock the house up. I go to work and I lock all my tools up. Because it means something to me. And it's because because somebody will try to take it away from you. And you just turn your back and it's gone. And you know what? And the devil is there. And that's what his whole goal is to take this away from you. To take away your time that you can fellowship with God, that you can get closer to God to get what you have need of. You have the opportunity, but we don't take the time to do it. If we actually You know, because if we actually, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, if I actually, and I'm just going to tell myself, I'm just going to preach, you know. Y'all can say amen or what. But, you know, if you know, I have questions about something. I'm working on an air conditioning unit. And, you know, there's a problem, and I can't figure it out. You know, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that. Well, you know what? I just don't say, well, I can't figure it out. Because you know what? There's nobody else that's going to come by. And, you know, I just can't say, well, hey, call somebody, let them work on it. I don't know. But you know what? Sometimes there's something down inside of you. It's like, I want to find out what this problem is. I'm going to figure this thing out. And there's something that drives you. And you dig and you dig. And, you know, after a while, you figure out what the problem is. Like, oh, man, that was so easy. But sometimes it's things that you overlook. But it's so simple. It lays right there in front of you. But, you know, then all of a sudden you can't, well, that was so easy. Well, the next time you have that problem, then it's so much easier because, you know, I've already fought this through. But the problem is do we do the same thing in the Scripture? Because if you had a question about something, then it's like, do you stay there? Do you continually seek God about an answer? It's like, well, I'm just going to put it on the shelf. And we just forget about it. Just put it in the back of my mind. No, I've had questions in my mind, and I knew that somewhere along the way God would answer my question. But you know, I never forgot that. It always stayed. I always prayed about those things. I kept, you know, it's like, and it was years. You know, I was there the first time I heard somebody preach that Jesus wasn't God until the River Jordan. The first time I ever heard that, and I've told you that before. I told the Lord, I said, if that's true, you have to reveal that to me because that don't make any sense. It's like, well, and here they are, they're reading quotes of Brother Branham, and here they're talking, they're reading, listen to this and this, and they just kept going on. It's like, no, it don't, I was like, I don't, if it's true, I don't want, it's like, well, Lord, you'll have to show that because it don't make sense to me. I wish it did, but I just don't understand how that takes place. And you know, you see these things, and you hold on to them for years, and you don't understand. It's like, well, you know, and you know, I wasn't ashamed to tell some people, I don't understand that. Because you know what? Because the one thing is, Satan, the one thing that you can do against Satan is expose Satan. Because when people have a problem and they have issues, see, that because that pride raises up and it's like, well, I don't want anybody to make fun of me that I didn't understand that, I didn't see that. Well, you know what? I don't care. Would you rather be free? Would you rather know the truth? When people come along, you know, when people realize that, you know, they can get rid of Satan. When Satan has a hold of you. Because the first thing you do is when you don't understand something, it brings fear. It brings confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of fear. So the first thing that he's going to do is he's going to say, well, you know, you better not say nothing. What do? You say, well, I don't know. But I'm going to find somebody that knows the truth. Could you imagine the Ethiopian eunuch out there reading the Scripture? He's reading the Scripture out there, and it's like, well, he didn't understand any of that. You know, he's just going along. And here, God supernaturally sends Philip his way, and, you know, he's sitting there, and he's like, well, how you doing, brother? And just talk about the weather or whatever. No. He sent Philip along his way to answer his question. And that's exactly what the Ethiopian eunuch done. As soon as Philip showed up, he's like, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no. He said, who is he speaking of? So what's the first thing that Philip does? He takes the scripture and he begins to unfold the scripture to the Ethiopian eunuch for him to understand who Jesus Christ was, to understand what the scripture was speaking of, the prophecy, and showing him the day, the present day truth. And he began to show him the scripture of what the present day truth was, where he was standing. And when he began to understand, because somebody had the truth and began to speak to him the truth, he said, "Here's water. What hindereth us?" And went right to the water. And it's the same way with you and I. If we just follow that same simple pattern, because we don't have, because we may not have somebody supernaturally show up. I didn't get here tonight, church, supernaturally. I didn't make it supernaturally. But you know what? I believe that when we come to the house of God, if you're prayed up and I'm prayed up and the preacher's prayed up, then let me tell you something. Then supernaturally we hear from God, and God begins to speak to you where you sit and answer your questions and give you what you have need of. But sometimes we fail to realize where we're standing at when we stand here in the house of God, realizing we're supernaturally hearing from God. It's not, because it's not what's in our notes. It's not what we've studied. You know, I wish sometimes that I could just say, "Boy, this is all me. I come up with all this." Sometimes, you know, I get up here and preach and everybody says, "Boy, that was so good." It's like, "Yeah, I know it was good because, man, I just heard this." Everything's, we sat right down and read all this stuff and write it all down, and we got, no, because when the Holy Spirit becomes to speak through us, we're just the conduit for Him to speak. How many times has somebody come, the brothers will tell you, somebody's come up and asked you a question, you don't know what to tell them. You stand there just as blank as you can be. Somebody asks you a question about something, you stand there and look at them. No, we just walk around. The Lord just speaks to us all the time. We just so standing in the presence of the Lord all the time, and we just bask in it all the time. No. We study for a message, and you know what? It's a grind. I wish it was just like laying back on the beach, you know, you just laying back on the couch with your hands behind, like, whoo, and the Lord just gives you everything. Ask the brothers, how many sermons have you started that you hadn't finished? How many you got, Brother Bob? How many you got? Innumerable. You get a message, you start one, and you get a few scriptures, you get this or that, you write it down, it'll sit in your log, it'll sit on your computer for months, for years. It'll start to get mothballed. It is so old. You got to knock the dust off of it when you pull it up. But you look at something and it's like, and I wish, and I speak from my heart, I wish I was like one of these other brothers. You know, because you look at Brother Wade and Brother Dale, they could preach a sermon, and I mean, they could preach one a series and preach it for months and years. I ain't made like that. That ain't me. But the thing is, I have to realize who I am, the calling that's in my life, and what God wants me to do, and I've got to operate in that way. I can't operate like everybody else. But you know what? But they would say, you can't be like me, and I can't be like them. And they'd probably say, "You don't want to be like me. You be you." But see, you know, everybody has their own calling. Everybody has their own personality, the way that God uses them. But you've got to stay in your office that God's given you. And let God speak to you through you, that you can speak to the people. And it's so wonderful, you know, when you sit down and you begin to pray, and I mean, everything just starts just falling. And I've had the Holy Spirit just drop in the room, and man, I'm writing so fast, I can't even write everything down. Trying to remember what the Lord said when you just, whew. You ever had that, Bob? Tell you what, you get up and man, you feel like your feet don't even touch the floor. It's so great. Man, I tell you what, it's wonderful to be like that. And I wish it was like that all the time, but it's not. You get in there and you're like, man, that's so good. But you know, the first thing that you do, you begin to preach a message like that, and you know it comes straight from the throne of God, and you begin to speak. And let me tell you what, the devil will be all over you. The devil will hinder you. Everything will go wrong. He'll fight you. Just like Brother Randall, when he was studying for the message, recognizing your day in this message, he said, I felt like the Lord was trying to speak to me. I felt like the Lord was trying to speak to me. And he said, you know, he said, I got sick. You know, I was in the basement trying to read. I fell asleep. You know, all these things. He said, you know, I just kept, but I had to stay with it. Just staying with it. Just stay there and just constantly pray and seeking the Lord. And he said, finally, the Lord was, you know, at a certain time there, late at night, early in the morning, whenever it was. But, you know, it broke through. And he said, the Lord was able to give me this message. Why? Because Satan wants to hinder you. But you've got to stay and fight. Just stay right there. And if you just yield yourselves and God can speak. See, if we just open up our hearts and allow Him in, let Him be welcome, then He begins to speak to us. Then when He begins to speak to us, He will lead us to the place where we need to be. And you know, when you go through these things, and there's many times in your life you face these things, and you go through things like Brother Bram said, talking about that pride in your heart. And he said, well, what does God have to do to you? Brother Bram said, He'll humiliate you. He'll break you down because of that pride. And just like a sheep before the shears, everything has to be done. Has to take you through a certain path. It's like, well, I don't want to go through that. Well, you know what? Well, Jesus didn't want to have to go through what He had to go through. Here we are. You know, Sunday will be Easter. Here's Jesus, knowing what was going to take place, knowing what lay ahead, and stood there and said, Lord, if it can, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. Sitting there, and you know, he struggled with that. Knowing this is what he came into the earth to do. This is what he was called to do. And many times in our lives, we face the same things. We go through the same things that in our lives, just like that. We have these things happen in our lives, and we wonder why. It's like, oh, I don't want to understand why we had to go through this. I don't understand why I had to go through this. I don't understand this. I don't understand it. Because God is molding your character. Because God is showing you something. God is bringing you to a place. I don't want to have to go through these things, but just like, you know, Brother Brandon was standing there that day, and he stood there and he said, you know, Lord, you took my wife and you took my daughter. You know, talking about being sheared, and he said, Lord, shear me again. Whatever has to be done, I want that to happen to me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to have the preeminence in my life. I want you to be in charge. Whatever happens in this world, I want you to be in charge. I want you to lead me in all of these things. Because he said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So you have to agree with him. Whatever he says, you've got to agree with it. Say amen to the word. So I don't understand these things, but I want to have the leading of the Lord. And many things in the scripture, we're not trying to get through some of this. But you know, you look and see in the hour and the day in which we live, see, God has called us to have not just God having the leadership, but he's also given man leadership. So when you see, you know, it's like, if you have confidence in God, I have confidence in God in one thing, that if God is leading me and God is wanting to lead me and he's wanting to give me the best that he has and he wants me to see these things, then I understand there's one thing that's got to take place. I've got to have a pastor.
Because God is going to lead you. Well, how is he going to lead? It's because he's going to have men to do that. Then what is it? Then what does it take? Then when you see God is leading me, then what else is he going to lead? Because if God is leading, if God's brought me this far, then you know what? Because of what the scripture says, then guess what? We've got to have a pastor. And guess what? There's going to be a fivefold ministry that's come to bring the word. And they're going to speak, and that what they speak is going to be the truth. Because you know what? If God was able to speak through men in the past, from the beginning, all the prophets and everything that was spoken of came by the Holy Spirit working through men to speak. It's like, well, you know what? It's done now. It's done. Just like when you go to the Baptist, like, well, you know what? God don't speak anymore because he read it all in the Bible. He spoke the Bible. And you know what? Then how did he call you? If that's true, then how did he call you? Oh, well, the Bible says, whosoever. That ain't your name. You're starting to read into the scripture, aren't you? Like, well, I can only become a Christian if I scroll through the Bible and find a place where it says Aaron Roberts. No. But it's spoken that this is what would take place. So when you understand that God can speak anytime he wants to because he spoke to people, and he said, well, you know, he doesn't have prophets anymore and he doesn't have this. Where's the scripture says that he took it out of the Bible? Because if he speaks to you, then guess what? He can speak through man, and just like he did in the past. Because he speaks to you, he called you. Well, is that God not speaking? Well, if it's the same God that spoke to you and called you out of the ditch somewhere, out of the miry clay, out of the pits of hell, if he called you up out of that, then you know what? If it's the same God, that it's the same one, then you know what? He can call a prophet that can speak the word and speak just like he did in the scripture. And it's like, he's done with this part of it. No, because guess what? It's like when you go into the scripture and you begin to look, Malachi 4, Luke 17, the scriptures, where does that fall into place? When you understand what's going to have to take place. When Jesus stood there talking to the disciples and he told them, he said, listen, he said, Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. But I say to you that he's already come and you didn't know him. When the scripture tells us that he said he would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. When it reads in the scripture, when it says that, when it tells us that there is a time that he's got to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, that wasn't fulfilled in John's day. But it's plain as day because it's what the scripture says. Anybody with one eye and half sense, if you've got any basic understanding of English. Because you know what? If you took that into a court of law, if you went into a court of law and you took that up and brought that up, you know what? They could turn you down and say, well, you know what? That's not what the Bible says. If it's not written in the contract, you know what? It's not enforceable. Because the contract doesn't say both parts. So if that was a contract that was written because it doesn't list both parts, then John couldn't be the fulfillment of that. Then it has to be somebody else. Well, you tell me who it is. You tell me where it's at. People spend all their time trying to tear down this message. Well, you know what? It don't bother me that people try to tear down this message because you know what? It's not to the whole world. The whole world's not been called to this. And if nobody else is called to it, I've been called to it. It's called to me. And I responded. See, we have to understand the day and hour in which we live and what God has called us to. to understand that God has placed man over us, and God speaks through man. Because he done it in the past. And guess what? If he leads and guides us, and he's the one that's calling, and it's the Holy Spirit working, you're telling me that he can't speak through man again? Then it's like, well, I don't have very good confidence in God. Well, God can do anything he wants to. Whatever God wants to do, he's big enough, he's strong enough, he's powerful enough to do whatever he wants to. But he can't speak through a prophet. God knows all things. God knows all things. He knows our up, our getting up, and our going to bed. He knows everything. But he didn't have predestination. He couldn't predestinate. He couldn't know ahead of time what was going to take place. How ridiculous does that sound? He knew the beginning. He knew the end from the beginning. He knew everything that was going to take place. And if you got confidence in God, then you realize that he can speak through your brother with all his faults and failures and all of his problems and everything. But you got to look past the veil and see that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody. Speaking through a man. When it's God on the inside speaking. See, all of these things through the Scripture, you realize it takes man. It's leadership. And a true man of God, a true man that's in a leadership position, you know what? He ain't walking around going, look at me. Because you know what? When Jesus came to the earth, he didn't walk around living that kind of life. He came humble. The humble, meekest man there was to come that way to be our example. And when people saw Brother Branham and the ministry and the life that he lived, people said, we saw Jesus Christ. I've never met a more humble man in my life. And see, you know what? If you're in a place of leadership, then you know what? You're not puffing. It don't puff you up. It don't make you big. Because, you know, the thing is when you come to that place, you realize that everything that you say, you'll give an account for. Everything that you do, you'll give an account for. Just like when Brother Randall was talking about the family, and as the Scripture talks about, as Paul said, every head of every man is Christ. And he said, and the man is the head of the woman. And say, then you see there's headship there. And everybody's like, well, you know, I just like to. I like to have my wife under my foot. Well, you know what? How is that the a son of God? How is that the leadership of the Holy Spirit? How is that? Because you know what? God didn't do you that way. Then how do husbands have the thing, right to think they can do their wives that way? If God didn't do you that way, then how is it that pastors treat their congregations that way? Because you can't do that because it's not the leadership. It's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not the Spirit of God that'll do that. Because you understand the condition and the awesome position, the responsibility that you have. Just like in when you understand because you see these people and I understand that there's a lot of preachers and there's been a lot of pastors that's done a lot of things, and you know what? They deserve a lot of things that they get. But you know, there's certain people, they've gotten to the point in their life where, you know, we don't need this. And everything, and it's like, you know what? They don't realize this is God speaking to you. This is God's gift to you. Don't realize what God's given you. It's because this is God's leadership for you. It's God speaking to you.
When you see this situation, when you see these people, the way they treat pastors, the way they treat preachers. And it's like, well, how can that be the Spirit of God and you act like that? See, because if you understand that if you have the Holy Spirit and I have the Holy Spirit, then guess what? They don't act like that. Why? Because there's a unity of the faith. There's a oneness there that'll bring you into continuity with each other, and to bring into fellowship, in love with each other. Because you know what? Brother Ram said, if you don't have love for one another, he said, it's time for you to get in the altar and start praying. When you see that, because it's just like raising your children, and you, because you know, you don't want to be. It's not because you want to be like that. You don't want to be hard on your children, but you realize that's what you've got to do sometimes. You've got to hold up the standard before your children and tell them this is the way it's got to be. You've got to hold it up and realize this is what you've got to do. See, when you understand how responsible you are in these situations, realizing when you've got to hold this standard before the church, the congregation, you've got to live the life. And you've got to take responsibility for your actions. Everything that you do, everything that you say. I don't mind apologizing. One of my favorite quotes from Brother Dale ever said, you know, he said, if you come to me, he said, I'll apologize to you whether I've done anything wrong or not. That's an amazing thing. Because a lot of people wouldn't do that. I didn't do nothing wrong. And I'm sorry, you can just take your hurt feelings home with you. But no, you see this condition and understanding that if you understand the Holy Spirit working in somebody, in the life. And here Brother Ram's talking about the man being over the wife and understanding she reverenced her husband and he gave honor to the wife. And Brother Ram was standing there and he was talking about, you know, when you realize that you stand there and understand it's a oneness, as Brother Ryan has so eloquently told us so many times, to understand about this relationship. It's like you understand your life. And it's like your marriage is supposed to be between Christ and the bride. And it's like, well, I'm woefully inadequate. But you know what? I've got a goal. I know what I need to be reaching for. I know where I need to be. It's like, well, I hadn't got there yet, but you know what? But I've got a goal, and I see where the mark has to be. And you see, you understand where you've got to be. When Brother Brown said, you know, when you understand that, he was standing there and he was talking about how women, the way they act, and they get out from underneath the word, and they do their own thing and everything. And you know, he was standing there and he said, listen, he said, when you do those things, he said, your husband will give an account for you. He said, you will never give an account for your husband. But the husband will give an account for his wife. Because he stood there and he was preaching, and he was talking about the women, the way they dressed, they cut their hair, all these different things, the way they acted. And he said, and you men, and you preachers standing in the pulpits. And he called them a bunch of sissies in the pulpits because you won't tell them the truth. And he said, you just allow your wife to run all over you and do whatever she wants to, and not realizing you're going to give an account for that. But realizing that you have to, but you know, everybody, and understand this one thing. You know, I've heard people talk about it like, well, you know what? My husband's going to give an account for me. And they act like that's some kind of get out of jail card. It's like, well, you know what? Here, I can just skip on by. It's all going to fall on the husband. Well, you know what? If the husband tells you and tries to lead you right by the word and tries to lead you in the right way and you don't do it, guess what? You answer. You know, it's just like you stand there and, because, you know what? It's so funny because I've heard people say that and it's like, you ever read Genesis? You ever read Genesis? in the scripture, when Adam and Eve found out they were naked and they were trying to hide from God in the garden, and he came to them, was looking for them, and he come to them, and he's like, well, I hid myself because I found out I was naked. I realized I was naked. And he said, well, who told you was naked? And he began to speak to Adam about the condition. And he said, oh, it was Eve. The woman that you gave me. Sir. Sir. And then she's over pointing the finger. It's a serpent. He beguiled me. Everybody's pointing fingers. Somebody else's fault. But you know what? When he come, Brother Bram said, they all received judgment. And so it wasn't like, well, you know what? I just get out from underneath it. Hey, I'm just, no. Eve received a judgment also. And Adam was standing there, and God told him, said, because you've hearkened unto the voice of your wife, the ground is cursed. See, there was a judgment brought on all three of them. And so when you come to the house of God, this is the house of judgment. This is where judgment starts, in the house of God. And whatever you have in your life, you say, well, you're not going to get by with it. Because you know what? You can either get rid of it now or you can hold it. But you know, somewhere along the way in your lifetime, you're going to have to give an account for it. You're not going to sweep it under the rug. You're not going to hide it from anybody. You can hide it from your parents. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your husband. You can hide it from the pastor. But you know what? God knows. And you're not ever going to get by with it. You might think you can sweep it under the rug and hide it on this hub, but you know what? There's a day coming. You'll give an account. So what is it? There's leading of the Holy Spirit. And what is the problem that people don't get any further than they do? It's because they don't go back to the Word. And what is lacking is leadership. What is lacking in people's lives is leadership. It's not my own. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. And everything that I have belongs to Him. I want a Savior, but I want Him to be Lord of everything. I want Him to be Lord of my life. I don't want to have anything between me and Him. As the song says, I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk without Jesus. I refuse to live one day as before. That's my testimony. I don't want to live another day as the past. I want a renewing of my life that when I reach, I want Him to have so full of my every step, every decision that I make is pleasing unto Him. Can you say that tonight? Let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. That is so burning in my heart, because we see so many people, they're bound and they don't realize God is there to deliver you. Amen. Let's see if we can sing that. I don't know what. That may be C. I'm not sure. Sister Esther. Brother Joe.
I won't walk without Jesus, and I won't talk without Jesus, and I refuse to live one day as before. And I won't go without Jesus, it just ain't so. Without Jesus, 'cause anything that I would do, it just won't do without the Lord. Yes, I won't walk without Jesus, and I won't talk without Jesus, and I refuse to live one day as before. I won't go without Jesus, it just ain't so. Without Jesus, 'cause anything that I will do. It just won't do without the Lord. Yes, I won't walk without Jesus, and I won't talk without Jesus, and I refuse to live one day as before. And I won't go without Jesus, it just ain't so. Without Jesus, 'cause anything that I would do, it just won't do without the Lord.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen, Brother Joe. You have a song. Amen.
Oh, glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day. I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day.
Hearts and minds clear this evening. Amen. Looking forward to a great Sunday, Easter Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. We celebrate the resurrection every single day.
Amen.
Thank the Lord that we have been risen in Christ.
Right.
Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Be dismissed in a word of prayer. Pray for each one. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord, this time to fellowship around your word. Lord, we just pray that what's been said, Lord, will be edifying. Lord, just help us, Lord, that everything that we do will be for your honor and glory, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters, Lord. And they come and fellowship with us, Lord, and lift each other up. And Lord, we're just so thankful for our family here, this church family, this body of Christ. And Lord, I just pray for each one, Lord, what their desires, Lord, their needs, whatever it may be, Lord. Lord, we commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Watch over us as we go home. Lord, we just pray for our pastor, Lord Jesus. You just continue to lift him up, strengthen him. And Lord, we look forward to Sunday, Lord, as we gather back together in the house of the Lord. We just pray that you just bless each one. We thank you. Lord, we commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.
The Lord has made. Oh, this is the day.